A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. On tonight's episode, we have Paulina joining us, and Paulina has had some absolutely incredible experiences, from fairies, interactions with beings from other dimensions, to even producing hybrid alien children, and that's just scratching the surface. I want to welcome Paulina to the show. Paulina, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, no worries. And we were talking a little bit before the show started, and you said that you've actually been interacting with beings from other places since childhood, and you actually had a near-death experience. Do you mind kind of telling us and taking us back to when this all first started for you?
Sure, it'd be a pleasure. Like I said, I have been having experiences all my life, and so I don't really think of them as paranormal. I kind of think of it as fairly normal. It's only sometimes when I share some of my experiences with people and I see their responses in their eyes and their faces and their body language that I think, oh, I should probably back off a bit here. It's a bit weird for people. I don't really, in a way, remember a time when I didn't have what people would call weird stuff happening. But I can think of specific things that, for me, indicate, I guess, something starting to change. And so when I was about 4, I was sitting in a tree. I had climbed a tree because I found that adults never looked for little girls in tall trees. And I climbed the tree and I would sit and talk with what I now realize was fairies, but at the time just thought that they were, that it was me or something. It was voices I could hear. But the predominant thing of having absolute contact with other beings started when I was about a year later, when I was between 5 and 6. And I had this witch coming into my room. And at the time, I just thought it was a witch. And she would appear in the corner of the bedroom and up in the ceiling corner. And she was in stars and she would cackle at me. She was that sort of classic image of a witch with a hat and a long nose with warts and she was just watching me, and the eye would move if I moved, and she came at night, and she scared me. And at the time, I just thought there was this witch there, as I said, but actually later I realized that it was a different manifestation of a being from a different place. And part of the way that I understood that was listening to some other people at some conferences and things that I spoke to, and some people see beings in their early stages of seeing them as clowns, and other people can see them as witches. And there is in the sky a witch constellation, and I'm convinced now at this point in my life that this being was a representation of the witch's constellation. And she came to be a watcher. She came to make sure that I was on track. And although she scared me, I don't think she was malevolent. I don't think she was benevolent either, but I don't think she was there to harm me. She was just there to probably scare the bejesus out of me. And so after the witch started coming in, I had a sense of I wasn't comfortable. A classic thing of I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to check what's under the bed. I didn't like the door being open. I didn't like the door being closed, because if the door was open, they may come in. If the door was shut, they may come in and I couldn't get out, all those sorts of things. And I had a sense that there were other beings coming in. And then over the years, I had different visitations. And I now, again, recognize them as beings from the Pleiades and beings from Sirius. They were not harming me, but they were present. And so there's that feeling of you have no control of that. They were, as I said, they were very pleasant, but I didn't always know when they may come. And then there was also a sense of something else happening, and that was to do with going off into craft. Now, I don't have strong memories of that, I have the body memory, but not the visual memory of being on the craft and things like that. But I do have that sense of being taken, and as I got older, I had eggs taken, and I had other experiences that really were about something that I had agreed to before coming to create hybrids for the future.
Have you had any interactions with these beings since since you donated these eggs to create any hybrids or anything like that?
I've had, you mean with the outcome of the eggs? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have three children. Well, I don't think of them as my children, but they are. I think of them as, I guess they are my children, but I don't really think of it that way. But there's three of them, and they are working and doing their thing, and they came from my eggs and from other sources as well. And some of these things with experiences, they're not necessarily clear straight away. And when I was in my early 20s, I did have a near-death experience, but prior to that, I'd had sort of paranormal things where I felt like I was being protected, like I'd have a near-miss in a car accident, and I had lights going on when I was walking in dark places, and there were no lights. It was just a light that would come on. So I feel on reflection now that there was sort of a guidance going on. And then after the NDE and during the NDE, had experiences where I felt a deeper connection to the other world.
When you say other worlds, do you mean, other dimensions, or do you mean actual other planets, or is it other realms of, existence?
I actually think I mean yes to all of those questions, because we live in a multidimensional reality. It's very, it's a very mixed dimensional universe, and we are accessing those all the time, whether we realize it or not. And in the way that we're currently experiencing the world, and people are talking about the fifth dimension, that's another level of awareness. But you know, there are many different universes, there are many different galaxies and many different planets. And then there are also many different beings from different worlds. So it's kind of like I find it impossible to define it in a sense that makes sense to the left brain, because there's so much we still don't know about the world and the world that we really live in. And it's just multidimensional, multifaceted. and multi-being.
Yeah. Now, have you ever, I guess, because you did say earlier that you went on a craft and you can't really quite remember that experience too well, but do you remember visiting any of these alternative realities or other planes of existence?
I do, but those the memories that I have from that are from the NDE, and also since then working with other beings to participate in cleansing sacred sites, interacting with stone circles, crop circles, helping other people cleanse their land and things like that. And so in that case, you can go through with these beings into other dimensions, other places, other universes.
Just to touch on a point there a little bit earlier there, Paulina, you said that you have three hybrid children. How long ago did you, you donate your eggs for this procedure to happen?
Well, that's a really good question because I don't know exactly because it went on for some years and I don't know exactly when certain eggs were taken because there were procedures that happened. But the beings are not children, so they're adults. And the near-death experience that I had was related to a cyst on an ovary that ruptured. And again, on reflection, I think that was connected to having had things done that created something in the body that then had a response. That said, I also believe that part of that near-death experience for me was as a soul coming in as an incarnation, because I believe that's what we all do. It was an awakening for me to really fully start doing what I came to do rather than do it unconsciously and just sort of not so much stumble along the path but do it by random. It was time to wake up to it, and part of it is to help change our consciousness collectively and my own, and help with the planet and things like that. Sounds all very grandiose, but I don't mean it quite in the way that it sounds. And it's about remembering the right brain and the divine feminine, and what better way than having a near-death experience based upon an ovary.
Your children, do you interact with them at any point since you kind of, I guess, conceived them?
When I began to really understand that I did have the children on in other places and they were hybrid, some of them were smaller children or teenagers, and then I sometimes will have a visit with them. I've spoken at different conferences and things, and I've met people who've had far more vivid experiences than me, and, you know, very, very sort of like they come to see them on Earth. I don't have that experience with them. I just have more of an intergalactic experience with them, if that makes sense. So we may converse, or I may be shown that they are doing certain things. It's almost like if I saw them in another dimension, in a room, or in on another plane, or in a craft of some kind, I can watch them. It's almost like I become that observer of what they're doing, just seeing how they are, seeing that they're okay, that kind of thing.
Okay, so it's kind of like your consciousness goes to, I guess, where they are, and you're able to witness what's going on with them rather than your actual physical body going to them?
Yeah, that's my current understanding. And I say that because it's a bit like, you know, with the near-death experience, the actual experience that we have, according to some of the researchers like PMH Atwater, they take at least 20 years to kind of come to that place of understanding of what happened. But equally, they unfold for the rest of our lives. And the same with when we have these experiences. They don't always have absolute clarity to them. at the time. You know, we might say we saw a light, or I felt weird, or I felt frightened, and they're absolute truth. But sometimes later, rather like with the witch for me, the witch frightened me, but many years later I realized that she actually didn't mean to harm me. But at the time, witches, anything with masks, anything with weird faces, really scared me. But it was because it felt different and it felt strange. And you feel a sense of out of control with your body. And that can also mean that you get frightened, or I got frightened, and other people I've spoken with had similar fears. And then sometime later, something happens and you understand a bit more about it. So like for me, having the realization that I had children didn't happen.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And immediately for me. Now, for some people, it may happen immediately.
Okay. And with your children, do you mind me asking what you mean by hybrid? So, we understand a hybrid is something that's crossed with something else, but can you elaborate on, I guess, what is the other half of this children, if it is at least a half?
Well, when I see them as what I would term to be, they have human DNA, which is presumably my DNA, if they're my children, and they have DNA from other beings. So they're I want to say Syrian beings, and they've got bigger heads than we do. They have this sort of slightly more elongated heads. One of them has bigger eyes, but generally they look a bit more human, but they're longer, thinner. And because I have interactions with beings from Andromeda and Sirius and Pleiades, I couldn't specifically say they're exactly from that. One of them is from the Syrian. There we go. I'm saying it specifically. One is from Syrian, and one of them's Andromedans. And Andromedans, in my experience, are quite long and thin with long fingers. So they look sort of, they don't look human, but they don't look really like a big giant reptile walking around or something like that.
How is, I guess, having children from another existence kind of affected the way that you see the world now?
I don't know if it's affected the way that I see the world now, because I think I already had the sense that the world is a much bigger place than we think it is. But it does mean that for me, I've always felt that we're connected to the stars and that our ancestors come from the stars. And in all the ancient stories and mythologies that I've come across and continue to explore, there's always that sense that there were star visitors, and that we, not just from the Big Bang, came from the stars, but actually we were seeded by the stars. So for me, it's that sense of we're all multigalactic, and how lucky am I to have a family. I don't think of it as a family, I think it's in the human way, but the connections there that just feed that multidimensional aspect of who we are. I don't know if that sounds a bit weird.
No, I think it sounds quite nice, actually, and it's kind of refreshing to hear someone's take on it who's had a first-hand experience with, you know, with something that is quite literally from out of this world, where it doesn't sound as it doesn't sound like it's a movie or something that's too far-fetched. It's something that's quite grounded and has a little bit of sense to it, if that makes any sense to you.
Well, I'm glad that you think that, because as I said at the beginning, you know, for me this is quite normal, even though it doesn't sound normal. I get that. It's quite normal. And so it's not about weird, wonderful and spacey. It's about this is how it is. And It is grounded. It is my reality, and it is other people's realities as well. And I think the more we can understand that what we think of in third dimensions, you know, three dimension, like what we can see, touch, taste, feel, and hear is the only reality, we're missing so much about what's actually available to us and what we came to be.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you 100% on that one. Now, I kind of want to touch on something that you spoke about right back at the start, and it's something that kind of caught my interest is you said that when you were 4 years old, you were playing with fairies in the tree. Now, can you kind of elaborate a little bit on, I guess, what the fairies were to
okay.
you?
Well, in my experiences with the paranormal, as we're calling it, and let's say the other side, there are different ways that we pick up information and different ways that we interact. And some of it's visual. So if people are visual, they will see things. And it may be they see it equivalent of watching a Hollywood movie. So they may see curtains literally opening, portals opening, beings coming through, and they may even be able to touch them. If we're sensory, or clairsentient, we may have sensations of being. So we may not see them, but we'll feel them, or we may feel the wind change or those sorts of things. And if we are clairaudient, we'll hear things. So for me, my primary way as a child was to feel things. So I'd sense things, and then I would hear things, and then I would see things. So they would first manifest as I'd have a feeling that there were beings around, that I would hear voices. And fairies for me then, and still now, they have quite high voices, and there's a lot of like sort of whispering that goes on. Then I may see twinkles on the leaves, or I'd see the leaves actually moving, and then I'd see little fairy beings.
Okay, and how do the fairies look? Because I kind of have a very sensualized view of how a fairy would look, and that's only because of, say, fairy tales and things like that. Do they fit that generic mold, or are they something else?
I think they can come in different forms, but they do. The ones that I interact with and call fairies do have wings, and they have wings that are they have two wings, Their wings are a bit pointy at the top, and they have sort of like two segments to each wing, if that makes sense. But some of them don't. They'll have very long, just one sort of wing on each side, and they flap them around a lot. But they sometimes would just appear, so they wouldn't. I wouldn't necessarily see them flying from one place to another, but they are. They can look like very, very small human, like very tiny humans, but with wings. But they're not, because they're a different, they're a different being.
Excuse my ignorance when I say this, but do you think they live on Earth, or do you think they live in another realm and they can travel to, I guess, our dimension?
Okay, this is my current opinion, because my thoughts and my understanding changes. In my experiences with them, there are certain beings that interact with the Earth realms all the time. And the fairies, the gnomes, the sylphs, and the salamanders. So you've got the fairies that are to do with the air element, the gnomes that are to do with the earth element, the sylphs that are to do with the water element, and the salamanders that should do with the fire element. They are participating in keeping the earth stable and keeping like the regeneration of forests. They live deep in the earth, or they live in the trees, or whatever. So they, part of their job is to interact with the earth, and they may interact with other dimensions, but they spend quite a lot of time with the earth as earth element, as elemental beings to assist in the guardianship and the looking after of the earth.
It sounds like they're kind of the keepers of the earth from your point
yes.
of view.
And so in the work that I do with sacred sites and earth energies and grid lines and all sorts of things like that, every sacred site and every piece of earth, doesn't matter whether it's sacred or not. So, for example, if you have a house on land or a piece of a park or something like that, they will all have these elemental beings, whether they're fairies, pixies, gnomes, as I said, sylphs and salamanders, and they are all looking after and managing the earth under the guardianship of the greater hierarchy. So Pan and other beings, and then there's cosmic beings, and then there's, of course, the beings that come from different places who participate in that. So there are some people who believe, say, Yowies, for example, are beings of the light who put on almost like a costume in order to come and do what they do with the earth, but they don't actually look like that. It's almost like they arrive, they go to the hook, and they get their jacket off, or their body off, and they go in and wear that. There are some people who believe that. Other people believe that they manifest as, tall beings and Yowies.
And that kind of would make a little bit of sense when there's never been a body found of a Yowie or a Bigfoot or anything like that, and you just hear reports of them up and leaving. And it's not uncommon to hear of orbs of light floating around when there's been a Bigfoot or a Yowie encounter. So this kind of goes hand in hand with what you're saying.
Yeah, it may do. I mean, I've worked with some children who've definitely seen Yowies and footprints, and they've stood in the footprints, so there's definite footprints. But and I've seen a lot of orbs. A lot of people these days see orbs, and there's some people doing some fantastic stuff with orbs. And really investigating just what they're made of, what they contain, and it's through some sophisticated camera work and knowing what they're doing. There's orbs often come with Yowies or Bigfoot, depending on which country we're talking about it from. And orbs will appear with fairies. Orbs will appear in like cemeteries, and so there's some people who believe that orbs are only dead people, and other people believe that orbs are something different. So we're still really learning about what all these things are and what they really can teach us and help us understand, whether it's a really positive interaction or a frightening one.
Just before we wrap up here, Paulina, there's one thing that I want to touch base with you is about the witches that you used to see when you're 5 or 6 years old. Do you still see these, manifestations today? And do you see them anywhere else but your home? Do they happen in public? Do they happen in other places?
I do still see them, and they happen in public places. And the witches will manifest in particular energy places where there's energy that perhaps, they want me to understand. I sometimes see almost like an overlay on people, or I can feel that energy in people. You know, when you meet people sometimes and you just have a sensation about them. Sometimes it's like, it's that kind of thing. You just know that they're connected to that somehow. And so, yes, I do. And all the beings that I've ever seen, I still have, like including the praying mantis beings. And my interactions with them are to do with the healing and balancing of the earth. So for me, a lot of the stuff that I have interactions with is in relation to what I've come to do and the work that I've come to do. And see the witches, and it'll be about, okay, that's a particular spot, it's got a particular energy, and what do I do with it, and how do I interact with the guardians who look after these places?
Wow, that's actually really interesting. So they're almost kind of like a guide for you.
Yeah, they are. And I don't say it lightly when I say we're friends and colleagues. It takes a lot to say that, because it's been a long time of working with them, and I feel really privileged to be able to participate and to be asked to participate in this. And I have my skill set, and they know what my skill set is, and my skill set develops and grows, and they have their skill sets, and I understand some of them what their skill set is, and others they sometimes tell me, and then we work together and do things.
That's really interesting there, Paulina, and unfortunately we're kind of out of time for this episode, but I'd love to get you on again to maybe dive in a little bit deeper on how you work with these beings and what you can extract. And you kind of said a little bit earlier that you help people. So it would be good to get you on again to kind of delve a little bit deeper into, I guess, those operations and I guess the procedures and things that you do to kind of work with these other beings.
I'd be happy to do that and, you know, share whatever I can that will, I guess, help, you know, help others. Because for me, that's what it's all about, is we've come here together to, you know, we volunteered, and if I can share information that helps, then I'm very happy to do that.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, thanks for joining us on this episode, Paulina.
Oh, thank you for having me, and I look forward to the next time we do it, whenever that might be.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.